We'll start at 11 and 1 and read it kind of quickly till we get over there to verse number 4. Estin de piston.
Estin de piston.
Elpizomenon.
Elpizomenon.
Hypostasis.
Hypostasis.
Progmaton.
Progmaton.
Elekos.
Elekos.
Oop. Pleipomenon.
Pleipomenon.
All right, let's go back and look at that now. And faith of things being caused to be hoped for, a reality, a proof. Aristotle used that word, by the way, there, hypostasis. It means the guarantee of a transaction. Guarantee. It is a foundation. It means foundation. It means building. It means a foundation of a building. It means a contract. It means a promise. 2 Corinthians 9 and 4. It means to hold firm. Hypostasis, that means a reality of things. Pragmaton, a deed. All right, that's a deed. A tangible property, deed. And then it says evidence. All right, conviction, proof, tangible proof. Unconditional tangible proof. All right. Not being seen. All right. Faith proves to your heart and to your mind that in all reality, what God has promised, He will do. That's what pleases God. Faith is what pleases God. Faith. Faith. For in grace ye are having been saved, isn't it? Through what? Through faith. That's the word right here. Through faith. And faith is just repeated over and over and over again. Faith is a title deed to heaven itself. Faith is a title deed to heaven itself. That is the title deed. That's the guarantee. All right, 11 and 2. Who can read that? In kategor. In martyr. Re-thay-son.
Hoi.
Presbyteroi. I should have said presbyteroi. I got that upsilon instead of ypsilon in there. It's presbytery, not presbytery. It's presbytery. All right. For in this, they obtained witness. They were caused to obtain witness. The elders. The fathers. The elders. Okay? Who are the elders? It's going to delineate them here pretty soon, isn't it? These are the ones that went on before us. These are the faithful. These are the fathers of our faith. Alright? 11 and 3. Faith opens the door to understanding. Faith opens the door to understanding. In faith, we accept God's word as infallible, as truth, blindly, at first, then step by step, true scientific research of each word, tense, mode, and voice proves God's word to be right. Pistei. Nomen. Kater tiste. Tus. Ionos. Remati. Theou. Aste. To. Me. Ek. Phenomenon. To. Lepomenon. Gagonene. Alright, let's look at this one. In faith, we begin to understand, and we continue to understand. Alright? In faith. That's how we understand. That's how the Word of God is open to us, is by faith. We understand. To have been fitted together, framed together, like a puzzle, the ages. That's what this map up here on is, God's plan of the ages. That is how God planned the whole history of humanity ahead of time. The whole history of humanity. By the aged, by the remata, Ramata. That comes from Rayo, remember? What does it Rayo mean? Ramata. Let's look at that word just a little bit analytically. Ramata. It means to flow. That's what it means. Used in this way, it means an edict. It means the whole Bible. It means the whole thing. The whole enchilada, as they used to say, from Genesis through Revelation. This is the whole plan. Planned out. The Word of God is completely planned out. Genesis 1 and 1 to Revelation, the last chapter and the last verse. God's plans are made for us. For we understand, having been fitted together the ages by the Word. All right? Of God. Unto the thing not out of things appearing, he brought. Let's look at that in the Amplified Bible. I think that is really good there. 11 and 3. By faith we understand that the worlds, during the successive periods of times and ages, were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. Remember Brother Farrar reading this many years ago. By the Word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. That just completely wipes out a whole theory of one of them Catholic fathers. It's called ex nihilo. You ever hear of that, Brother Randall? Ex nihilo? Out of nothing. God created out of nothing all of the everything we see in the world. That's what they say. But what was everything created out of, according to Hebrews 11 and 3? Things not able to be seen. They were created. They came from God Himself. They came from God. God created the whole heavens and the earth. It says, Barashith Bara. It says, in one of the beginnings. Created and finished. Perfect tense, by the way. Completed action. He completely finished God, Elohim, et Hashemayim, the heavens. All right, we know that the word heavens there is more than just the sky, the atmosphere of the earth. Why did they use that word heavens there? How is it used? How is the Hebraism there? How is the word heavens used? It meant the whole created cosmos, all of the galaxies. In one of the beginnings, created God and finished the galaxies. And after He did all this, it has the kind of the idea. Yet Ha'aretz, all right, and the earth. After He created everything, He placed the earth in exactly the right place. He created the earth, created all the galaxies, and He put the earth in exactly the right place. Created out of the same stuff that can't be seen, by the way. Stuff that wasn't seen. It all came from God, all right? It all came from Him. Einstein had the theory of mass times the speed of light squared. That's his theory of what?
Relativity.
In energy, there is mass. In mass, there is energy. But in God was all things. Everything was in God. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared.
Because
I haven't seen it for so long. It's something like that. Am I right, brother? Yeah, is that it? Okay. I haven't even looked at that for so many years. There it is. Right there. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Now, everything that we know and we see in all of the galaxies came out of God. That's not ex nihilo, is it? I don't care what the Catholic Father said. It's not out of nothing. God is something, I'm telling you. It was created out of things not seen. Out of things not seen. That's where it came from. John 1 and 1, John 1 and 3, Hebrews 1 and 2, Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 2, Psalm 33, 6 and 9, Hebrews 6 and 5, 2 Peter 3 and 5, Romans 4, 17, Ephesians 3 and 11. Someone go to Ephesians 3 and 11. Have you got your Amplified Bible there, brother? That's a good one. Brother Farrar used to quote that one. I should say Farrah. That's kind of like the word, we have a foyer in the front of that church, don't we? That's not foyer, that's foyer. Foyer, all right? Nobody has figured out how to say that here yet, foyer.
Ephesians 3 and 11?
Have to go someplace else and figure out how to say the word foyer. All right, go ahead, brother.
3:11?
Yes.
This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord.
Brother J. Lewis Guthrie used to talk about Christ in creation and the creation of the heavens and the earth. Everything was created in Christ Jesus, out of Christ Jesus, for Christ Jesus, and finally to end up to be redeemed and set straight and fitted together by Christ Jesus. All of this. All right. In the beginnings, Bereshith comes from Rosh, doesn't it? Who is going to head up all things? Christ Jesus is going to head up all things. Rosh, that means head in Hebrew. And Bereshith, Bara, that's where it starts off in Genesis. And then in John 1 and 1 it says, in arche. That is singular, isn't it? Locative, singular, feminine. First declension, noun in Greek. In beginning, in arche. There's nothing else there. Locative, singular, feminine. Nothing else there. Nothing goes beyond that in beginning. Kept on being. Whole logos. Kept on being the Word. Who is that Word? That's the idea of God, isn't it? The God. All right? John 1 and
1.
In our K.
Ain't
Hologos. Okay. Kept on being. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. That one comes from Amy, remember? Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. From Amy. That little old word, Amy, come from. Oh boy. In beginning kept on being the Word, and the Word kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Because God was the Word. Or you can say, because the Word was God. Either way, predicate nominative doesn't make any difference which way you say it. That's how, and that's where all things were created. Everything that's unseen was created out of that which was unseen, but was held in solution in God. Brother,
just because it's not seen, does that mean it doesn't have matter or form?
Energy equals mass times the speed of light square. Energy has matter, has mass, doesn't it? Energy has mass. Mass has energy. It goes both ways. You can't take matter and completely destroy it. It changes. It changes from one state to the other. What God did is He breathed out, the Bible says, the whole galaxies and formed them with His very philomathos, His very will, His very nous, His very mind. What we see when we see the created universe is we see the mind of God set at work. That's what it is. When we see the universe, we see the mind of God at work. Go out there in the ocean. I tell you what, I love to go out in the ocean. Didn't get to go there at all this year. But I love to go out and fish in the ocean and see all the creatures and just look out there at the mass of the creation of God and just marvel at the mind of God. How He set everything in motion. Verse 4. Feast day.
Pleona.
Phision. Habel. How do you say that in Hebrew? Havel. Havel. All right. Havel. All right. That's it in Hebrew. All right. So I thought I'd give that to you, by the way, while we're there. Havel. Havel. Okay. 11 and verse 4 in the book of Hebrews. 11 and verse 4. Havel, para, Cain. All right, Cain. That's the word, the way you say the word in Hebrew. Cain. It's like this. Cain. Make that look a little better than that. Prosenekgen. To. Theo. All right, how would that be in what would this Theo be in Hebrew?
God.
Huh? Theo. What's the Hebrew word? Elohim.
Elohim.
Genesis 1 and 1, all right? But Theos is Greek. Theo is Greek and Elohim. And then Dia, or D. Hase. Emateraste. Ene, Dikaios, Maturuntes, Epi, Tois, Dorois, Autu, Tu, Theu, Kai, Dia, Altes, Apothanon, Ete, Lale. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, of course, where Cain killed Abel. All right. Let's go back and look at in faith. Faith is the key to, it is the absolute key to heaven. That's it. You want to, how do you get to heaven? I heard a guy, I was listening to a guy teaching today, and he said, oh, how to get close to God. Go out there and suffer and endure. And get close to God, suffering and endure, and going to the holy places where the Lord walked and Moses walked and all this. You go out there and you struggle, and in that struggle you get close to God.
You mean fashion?
Huh?
You mean fashion by struggle?
Mm-hmm. You struggle, and that way you get close to God. I'm going to tell you something. God did the struggling. All we have to do is to believe it. By faith, we get to heaven. When you study the Word of God as a child of God, when you're born again, you trust the Bible to be your instruction manual. Okay? The Bible is your instruction manual. Alright? And then you study it. Many of you started out with King Jim. You know, King James, I did. I read the whole King James Bible once. Now, when I was born again, I trusted that to be true. But as I studied the Word of God more and more and more, I found out that King James didn't write the Bible. This and thou and thee and thou and all this kind of business. That wasn't the way Moses spoke. I've heard a lot of these so-called Baptists these days say, well, if King James is good enough for Moses, good enough for me. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for John the Baptist, good enough for me. Well, they don't know up from down. As you study, on Sunday morning I'm showing a set of videos. We have studied the first six books of the Bible so far. We've gone from Genesis all the way over through Joshua now, and we're going to be in Ruth. But we're going to take, now we studied these books, and what we're going to do is we're going to see some videos of that land so we can picture what took place in that land. Okay? We can see it. And this guy travels, and he looks at the archaeological evidence of where this happened and where that happened. Okay? There's a lot of... How many Mount Sinai's are they where Moses is supposed to get the scrolls? I mean, the tablets.
There is one.
How many are there?
How many what?
How many people? How many of these things are there? I think there's 22 of them.
Mount Sinai?
Yeah. 22 Mount Sinai's over there where it could have been.
Named after, you mean after his...
Yeah, well, but they, you know, different people's opinions, okay. But we know that Moses went up on one of them, whichever one it is.
What does Sinai mean? You know?
Bush.
What?
It means bush.
Means bush.
When he went to see the bush and the bird,
uh-huh.
Literally that bush was saying Sinai.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where he went.
Yeah.
He did this demo about, you know, holy ground.
Yeah. He said, Moses, the ground where you stand is holy ground. Take off your underbinders. Okay? Take off your sandals.
Yeah, bush means Sinai. That's incredible, huh?
Yeah. All right. Here we go. It says, in faith, greater sacrifice. Greater means more and better and much. Holus, okay? That's what it means. Much. A much better sacrifice was Cain's or Abel's. Let's just look at it now for a minute. Let's look at this tangibly. That which may be touched, okay? Let's look at Abel's sacrifice and let's look at Cain's sacrifice. What was Abel's sacrifice? Literally. What was it? From his flock, it was an animal life. An animal, something innocent, died for something guilty. All right. That guy is gorging on food there tonight. He's just eating it up, boy. I mean, he's eating that food. Kala Estio, eating it down, okay? All right. Now, in that food that you've got there is meat. Meat. Okay, it's meat in there, isn't it? You got meat in that thing? Did you get some meat in there? Did you give you some meat? Okay. A little meat. Okay. Now, let's just think about Cain and Abel's offering. Just let's look at it tangibly, realistically, scientifically, okay? When Adam sinned, God cursed the earth because of Adam, didn't he? Because of Adam. He cursed the earth because of Adam, what Adam did. And he said, from now on, by the sweat of your nostrils, you're going to have to work harder now to make a living than you ever did before. Okay? Now, you, when you go out and you plant a field of wheat or barley or alfalfa, it takes a, you can use that and you can grind it up into flour or you can eat it in a cereal, just cook it a little bit or whatever you want to do. It's the same with barley. Okay? You have to go out there and harvest it and shake it out and get the barley seeds and eat them one way or another, flour or whatever. Now that's eating the food or the produce straight from the ground. But that is a cursed ground with a product that has been cursed too. How is the product, how are the fruit of the fields, how are they cursed?
For the thorns? Or the...
That's right, brother. You are sharp tonight. You get an A plus tonight. You remember little Ralph and a Christmas story? And the teacher got up there and Ralph was imagining his teacher going like this, A plus, A plus, A plus. All right. All right, that's what Brett's got tonight. He's got A plus, 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 plus. So far, you're doing great. Okay. The weeds and the thorns and the thistles, that's how the ground is cursed. So now, Abel brings an animal that dies, and that's what God told him to do, by the way. Now, Abel does that. But now Cain, he decides to make a shortcut. How much of his fruit of the field do you think it would cost for him to buy one lamb or one ram? Okay. How much produce, how much alfalfa, how much carrots, how much wheat, how much barley does it take to produce 1 pound of meat? A gob. Just put it that way. Now we've got a tightwad here in Cain. By the way, Cain, Abel means what? Brief, fleeting, vapor, metal vapor, whatever. That's what Abel means, all right? Abel. And then Cain means gotten or acquired. We have gotten a man, even the Lord, okay? That's what they said when they got Cain. But they got a little more of what they thought they had. They got a murderer too. And he wasn't the Lord. All right. So you take a pound of mutton or sheep, it is going to take hundreds of pounds of produce to produce 1 pound of it. Now I remember, my wife is going to really like, she's going to listen to this when I take this video home tonight. She's going to want to hear this class because she didn't feel good. This is going to make her feel really good because this is the best illustration I've ever seen. When we first got married, I went down and I bought my wife a great big 3-pound heart Valentine with See's candy in it. Now this is my wife. Now this is what she tells me. Since we got married, my wife has gained 70 pounds. All right, I've lost 70. She gained 70 and I lost it. She worked me to death. Well, I told her, and she said, it's that 3-pound box of See's candy. I said, now that's what we need to market. 3 pounds, every 3-pound box of candy guarantees those cattle and those sheep put on 70 pounds. But that's not really the way it works, is it? It takes a lot of alfalfa. How many bales of alfalfa does it take to raise a calf till it's time to be slaughtered? Or a sheep till it was time for it to be offered? I want to tell you something. That tightwad Cain, he brought the wrong offering and he brought the wrong amount. He threw a few little old loaves of barley up there or whatever, you know, sheaves of barley or whatever he grew up on this altar, and God wouldn't have it. I tell you what, the altar wasn't big enough to hold that much barley. What it would have taken to buy 1 lamb from his brother. It takes a lot of produce, a lot of vegetation to produce 1 pound of meat. You just figure it out. Go look it out. They used to, when I was going to school, it said it took a ton of hay to produce 1 pound of meat. Just think about that for a while. Here we got old Cain out there. He's a tightwad. He won't tithe, and he won't give the right amount. And not only does he do that, he brings a cursed offering from a cursed ground. And there wasn't any, I mean, just imagine now what it would take to raise 1 lamb that would go. How much produce would he have to buy that lamb? They didn't have any Mack trucks back then, but it would have taken a few truck loads. It would have taken a few big Mack truck loads to raise that lamb or that little bullock, whatever they were using for a sacrifice. He was a tightwad. I was told one time by an old preacher a long time ago, he said, when God saves your soul, the absolute certification of that, that's the word we just got over here a while ago, that word certification, bona fide, hypostasis, pragmata, and legos, the proof of your salvation is if God, he's got your heart, he's got your pocketbook.
That's true.
If God's got your heart, he's got your pocketbook. That's as simple as that. That pocketbook is not going to be worshipped by you quite as much as it did before. Money's hard to come by today, but we still give, don't we? You know why? Because the Lord's got your heart. Okay? God did not have Cain's heart. He just wanted to go through the religious motion. He didn't bring the right amount, and he didn't bring the right offering. And guess what? God's still testifying against him today. That scoundrel. Right here, 11 and verse 4, the book of Hebrews. God tells us that he was a rat. Again. Now, how would you like to be remembered for your tightwadness, brother?
Well, I don't think I would, unless maybe I didn't have anything.
How would you like to be remembered as Cain or Balak?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Oh, yeah, you're cool. You just like to be Brett, huh?
Yeah, I'm going
to
be Brett.
Yeah, he's going to be Brett. Abel then Cain, he offered. Alright? He offered up, offered forward to the God through which he obtained witness. Now why did Abel do this? Because he believed God. That's why. He believed God. He believed that there was a sacrifice to be made. Now, he was a shepherd, okay? You have to remember back then that these sheep that he were given up, how many times do you get to shear a sheep and get wool from it?
Once a year.
And how many times do you, I mean, really, I know you don't know this because we don't think. Huh? Twice a year? You shear a sheep twice a year. Okay? That's a lot of produce. Now, you have a sheep. How long does a sheep live? 20 years? Two times? Now this man's losing a lot of, you know, he can shear the sheep. He can't kill it and eat it because it couldn't kill him and eat him back then. Now, even today, a sheep may live 20 years. Okay? That's a pretty old sheep, but producing. Sheared twice a year for 20 years. Not only is doing that, it's having other babies and producing. So look at all of the what he lost. How much? Look at how much money he lost by giving a sheep of his flock. And now think about Cain. Okay, Cain was a tightwad. He wouldn't buy a sheep from his brother or a bull from his brother. He just wanted to throw a little bit of produce up on there, which was the wrong amount. It would have taken him many Mack trucks to buy one. Wouldn't it? And he didn't do it. So now we have a witness against him, God witness against him. Now we have Abel. He obtained witness to be just. Why was he just? Because he believed God. You know, God showed Adam how to get back in his grace. Adam went out and got some fig leaves and sewed them together. My wife was telling me yesterday, we were talking about picking fruit. I think the worst fruit I ever picked was figs. You ever pick figs, Brother Randall?
I remember one real, it's kind of long, I always little weird lumps on it, and kind of like,
yeah, well, just climb up in a fig tree. My first job I ever got working for somebody else but my family, I worked for my uncle, Sam Paul's grandchildren. I worked for them. And I worked in the wrecking yard and everything else, but I went out and I went to work on a farm. Out here, I think their name was Estes or something like that. If you go out 58 to Fairfax Road, you turn right down there, and there was an old... It's still, the old place is still there, but it's all abandoned now. There was like a two-story house there and a whole big orchard. They had a bunch of figs there. Well, they wanted me to pick these figs. I said, okay, and I get so much per box picking these figs.
It's like seeing you come in there, aren't you?
Huh?
I'd like to see you come in there.
Well, I went out there, and you know what? Those figs are miserable. But they sting you. They're like, the leaves sting you. And when you pick the fruit, it's got stuff on it that burns you.
Yeah.
It does. It's like irritating. You've got the thing. You've got the leaves stinging you. Got all these little pokey pine like stinging nettles in there. And then the fruit itself has got this sap on it that burns. And then you get it all over your hands, all over you, and everything else. And here, it's pretty miserable. Adam, when he sinned, he went out and got him some fig leaves and sewed together and made him some breeches for him and for his wife. What a miserable... That's the sight of false religion. People go out in the Philippines and nail themselves to the cross to get close to God. You know what God wants you to do? You know what God wants you to do to get close to Him? Believe in the sacrifice that He made. Believe that there was a way. Back in Adam's day, there was a way to come back to God from your fallen state, and that was to take an animal and sacrifice it, because that innocent animal had to die for the guilty. As simple as that. And by faith, you do that. By faith, you follow the instructions. Not Catholicism, not the dogma. Not the Seventh-day Adventist little ceremonies and things they have to go through, plus Jesus. Plus do this and plus don't that. To be just, to be proven just, righteous. You know, justification, what is it? That means when God...
Justification. It's kind of like not taking accountability.
Justification. When God justifies you through faith, what does He do? He sees you in a perfect form.
Oh, I think you're like us justifying something.
We are justified as if we didn't do it, as if we weren't sinners. God puts His righteousness on us. All right, it says here in verse 4, to be just, witnessing. Brother Randall, have you got that Amplified Bible open again? I think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get Brett to read something over here. I'm going to get something out of you.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Let's look at as we go here. Upon the gifts of Him of the God, and through it having died, yet He speaks. Read that to me, brother. 11 and verse 4.
Okay.
And Randall, you keep yours open too. We're going to have you read in a minute. I'm just going to get something out of Brett. He's
by
got
faith, people brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified to him that he was righteous. That is, that he was upright and right standing with God. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging, or acknowledging his gifts. And through, and though he died, yet through the incident, he still is speaking.
All right. Now, Abel got killed. He got killed by his ungodly brother. His ungodly brother was a tightwad. He wouldn't bring his gifts to the Lord. He wanted to trade off and bring his own offering, his own religion. And God doesn't accept your religion. He accepts His procuration for your atonement. That's the only one you're going to get. That's the only way you're going to get to God. Okay?
Are you five?
No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Okay.
You work on that one all class, huh?
All right. We're going to work on this a little bit more. Matthew 6:25, Luke 10:31, 12:23, Hebrews 3:3. These are cross-references to this. Having died, still he died, yet he speaks. Back in the book of Genesis. Let's look at that. I wish I had my Hebrew here tonight. Genesis. Go back to the book of beginnings. Bereshith. All right, let's go back there just for a moment and look at this. See what the world's talking about. Go over there in verse 4, I mean chapter 4, that is, in verse 1. Now the man had sexual relationships with his wife, Eve, Abba, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man, even the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. They may have been twins.
Genesis what?
Genesis 4 and 2 now.
Okay.
All right. And again, she gave birth to his brother Hobel or Abel. All right. And was a keeper of the flock, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. All right. Verse number 3, and it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, a cursed offering from a cursed ground and the wrong amount. And Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Okay? But Cain, for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very, 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 very mad. He flamed out, it says in Hebrew. He flamed out. His face flashed with hate. That's what it says. His face glowed with hate to God. He glowed with hate and anger. And his countenance fell. What it means, his face glowed. And the Lord and Jehovah talks to Cain now, Cain. And Jehovah talks to Cain and says, why are you flamed out? Why are you a hothead? Why is your face glowing red with anger? And why has your countenance fallen? He said, if you divide correctly, that's what it literally said. If you divide correctly, will your countenance, won't your face, won't be shining with anger anymore? And if you do not do well, sin is waiting there at the door to get you. And its desire is for you. Isn't that? That's beautiful in Hebrew. Yeah. Our God, the Lord Himself is preaching to Cain. Now, Noah preached for 120 years and didn't have much results. The Lord Himself preached to this guy and he didn't have any results. Did he? What about old Cain? And Cain told his brother Abel. All right? Wait a minute. Let's go back up. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you don't do well, sin is waiting at the door for you. And it's desiring for you. But you must overcome your ungodly attitude. That's what the Lord is talking about. Number 8. And Cain told his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Habel, his brother, and kept on slashing him. He's a slasher. He kept on slashing. Huh?
That's how we know he's a murderer.
Yeah, he's a murderer.
Because we wouldn't know that, because if he never killed anybody or no one ever died.
This is the first person that ever died.
Right, he wouldn't know. So yeah. He did it in a way.
He's a slasher. Here we have the first slasher. He slashed his brother. Now, I'm going to tell you what. He wouldn't buy a sheep or a goat or a lamb or a cow, but he slashed his brother and cut his throat over and over again. This is what we call overkill. He slashed and he slashed and he slashed. All right. 1 John 3:12 is what it talks about. And the Lord said, and Jehovah said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not his keeper.
Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's bloods, the voice of your brother's bloods, cries out to me from the mouths of the ground." Ha'adamah. The mouths of your brothers, the bloods of your brother cries out from the mouths of the earth, of the Ha'adamah, of the ground. And now you are double cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouths to receive your brother's bloods from your hand. Now, Abel's blood testified to God. When that blood hit the ground, all right. Abom. Abom. I've got so much stuff up here on the board that I don't have room to write anything out. Look like old Gene Scott used to do. All right. Here we have something like this. Abom. Abom. Okay, and then we have Ha, Adamah, that's the earth. And here we have Adam, and we have the earth, like that. Adam right here, and the earth like that. And then over here we have blood. Blood, Dam.
Can Adam mean red too?
Huh?
Can mean red too?
It also means red. I think it's on page 4 in the Brown Driver and Briggs Lexicon, if I'm seeing it right in my memory.
Did you ever find a place that it's by the Mesopotamia, basically, two rivers and Euphrates, and they think it might be the place of the Garden of Eden? So everything grows there really well,
mm-hmm.
And then there's this huge red wall on both sides.
Yeah.
And they don't know how it got there, but it's all red.
Mm-hmm.
And
the ground is called Ha'adamah. All right, the ground. Or Adamah, the earth, or the ground. Adam was Adam, and Dam is blood. And all of it means red, and all of it's related. And God says here that Abel's bloods cried out from the mouths of the ground and testified against him, because his blood was righteous, wasn't it? What changed the chemistry of Abel's blood?
What changed the chemistry?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a hard question.
It was believing.
Well,
by faith. By faith. By faith. You know, death is in our blood, isn't it? When God breathed into Adam the breathings of life, what did He breathe into Adam?
Right.
The breathings of life. What is life? Where is life? Where does the Bible say life is? In the blood. Yeah, He breathed into him the breathings of life, so probably God breathed into Adam His blood. And God says, let's make Adam in our shadow casting likeness. and our blood flowing dumb flowing likeness and our spiritual likeness. So there we have God breathing to him the breathings of lives, and then the chemistry of sin changed his blood and the chemistry of faith changed it back again. Alright?
I got something I want to ask you.
Yes. Okay. Well, I hope it's not too hard for me.
It's not directly related to this, but it reminds me of something like this.
Uh-huh.
Now, when the rocks will speak out to him, and what is he?
The rocks would cry out.
The rocks.
Jesus said, if these people didn't witness for him, the rocks would cry out. They said, shut them up, shut them up, shut them up. And he said, if I told them to shut up, the rocks would cry out. The very earth itself is crying for what? It's redemption. And here is the master of the heavens and the earth right there. The Hashemayim, the hearts.
And then the archaeologists find those rocks. And those finally rocks will cry out to them and tell them about all this stuff.
That's right. The rocks cry out. All right, 11 and 5. 11 and verse 5. Let's get along here. Get along, little doggy. Yeah. Get along, little doggies. Piste. Enoch. Metete. Tu. May. Edain, Donaton, Kai, Uk, Eucharist, Keto, that is, Diotel, Metteken, Auton, Hothios, Progartes, Metathesios, Memartirete. All right. You are reste kene.
You are reste kene.
To you. All right. All right. By faith, in faith. In faith. When you're baptized into eight faith, you're baptized into what? In Christ.
Okay.
That's right. When you're immersed in it, in faith. You're absolutely immersed in faith when you're born again.
That's what I call the dippers, Jim.
We are called the dippers. What do you think Baptists mean?
I know,
but Anabaptists. Anabaptists. All right. There were people called dunkers. They used to, there were some of them that dunked them backwards three times and some of them dunked them forward three times. They were called dunkers. Three times. All right. Anabaptists, we just dip them. And we dip them by church authority only. And that's why they called us Anabaptists a long time ago. But the word Baptist means dipper. All right? That's what it means, dipper. All right, let's go and look at this verse 5. In faith, Enoch. All right? All right? By in faith, Enoch. Remember what Enoch meant?
Teacher.
Boy, there's your another A-plus tonight. Teacher, Enoch.
Killed him, man. Killed
him. Oh, you're just doing great tonight. By in faith Enoch, he was placed across of the not to see death. He was placed across not to see death. Placed across. What in the world do you think that means? Placed across.
Like a bridge.
Bridged. Remember what all the pagan culture meant? When you die, why did they put coins on your eyeballs?
So did you have some money when you came back?
To pay the boatman.
To pay the boatman.
The toll man that would roll you across the river Styx. And then you had to swim the next river. And it was called the River Lead.
They threw you in the river dead?
No. Hold on now. Wait to see. You're
right.
Come back over here. You're thinking too much. All right. The coins on your eyeballs is what to pay the boatman with that rolls you across the river Styx. Okay? That's what the. And he said he placed him across. All right, let's get the idea here.
He said, I'm going to get an F.
Placed him across. What did you say, Dan?
He said, I'm going to get an F.
I'm going to get an F.
All right. He just got on the wrong track, that's all. So you go across the river Styx with a boatman, okay? And you pay the price, but you have to swim across the river Lade. And when you swim across the river Lade, what happens to you according to ancient mythology? Come on, you took Greek mythology and all that, brother. What happens?
There's a lot of things that can happen.
Well, what happens now? What happens?
Memory.
Huh?
Memory.
lethargic. Our word lethargic comes from the river Lethe, and that means when you're forgetful. When you swim across the river Lethe, you drink some of the water, and the water causes you to forget everything that happened to you.
Is it like a baptism supposed to be?
No, you drink from the river Lethe and you forget. It's like a drug that makes you forget. Okay? All right. He placed him across.
Some of us already been in that river.
What?
Some of us already been.
I think that happened to me already. I got some of that river water from out there, an old river. And some of it was called from the river Lethe. What?
I think they're mimicking what God does in a way, in a different way.
Yes.
That's a form of baptism.
Yes. Yes.
And they're trying to put down their little
yeah. Charlotte. All right. In faith, Enoch, he was placed across of the not to see thanatone. Death. Okay? He didn't see death. He is a type of what? He's the first man in the Bible to be taken into heaven. Like a rapture. Like what's going to happen right here in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. He's the type of the rapture. Where's the next man that didn't see death? By two or three witnesses, let everything be established. What was the next man that be to not see death? That they'd be taken right into the chariots of the God.
Elijah.
What, Elijah the first one?
Elijah, no. No, Enoch's the first one.
Oh, okay, I got mixed up.
Enoch and Elijah. Alright? Alright. He was placed across not to see death. And not, he continued to be found. They couldn't find him. Eurisko. You find, when you find something, when you discover something, you say, Eureka! Don't you?
Yeah.
That's an old term. It comes from the Greek word Eurisko, which means I found it. Not, he was found. They didn't Eureka him. Alright? Diote, because. On account of, he removed him, the God. God removed him. God placed him across, right into heaven itself. Before four of the, that's what it literally says. Before the placing the cross, before the removal, he had obtained witness to have been well-pleasing to the God. How long did old Enoch walk with God? How long did he walk with God? 300 years. Oh, you've been reading your Bible. You've got an A++++ too tonight, Brother Randy.
Walking in 300 years?
That's right.
With Methuselah?
No. Enoch.
But didn't Enoch's kid...
300 years. What?
Didn't his kid Methuselah?
Yeah. What did he name his kid? When he's dead, it shall come to pass. All right. You creeper. All right. Before of the having been moved, having been traced across. Now, Brother Randall, no, you don't have that open. Have you got that one open right there? I've got the marker in there. 11 and verse 5. Hebrews 11 and 5. You're over yonder in the wrong book. In the back of that book, brother. Hebrews is in the end of that. Just take that marker there. See where that marker is? No, not that marker. There's a marker built into the Bible. There you go.
11 what?
11 and verse number 5.
Okay. Because of the faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony, still on record, quotes, that he had pleased and been satisfactory of God.
All right. Now, if you go to our website, discovertheword.com, it's all of ours, by the way. Randall does all the work. But we're all part of this production. If you go to discovertheword.com, right over there on the right-hand side, I think, it says the Book of Enoch. There's a book named after Enoch. Now, the rabbis believe that Enoch wrote that book. They believe that for hundreds of years, thousands of years, actually. They say, this is the Enoch that wrote that book. Now, Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in the book of Jude, he quoted Enoch. And he actually quoted part of that book that we have. Okay? And what was Enoch preaching all the time he was preaching for 300 years? that the judgment was going to come upon the earth and there was going to be a flood. He named his son when he's dead, he shall come to cast with. He believed God. Noah, it says later on, built an ark because he believed God. He believed and he reverenced God. He reverenced God by what? When we give, what are we doing? When we give, what do we do? We're showing reverence to God because God is the owner of all things. We're just giving a little bit back. Almost, well, even in the garden, people tithe all the way back. Cain was supposed to be tithing and he didn't quite do it. We get to keep, well, we get free air, don't we? Nobody's charged us for that yet, hardly.
They're working on it.
We don't get free food anymore, but I'll guarantee you one thing, nobody's going to grow any food or produce any food except that God allows it to happen. Why, he could drop every cow on the hills dead right now, and the meat would spoil before they could do anything with it. They'd lose it all. My friend Billy Bowles, we used to go to church together. He was in a cult, and I talked to him for quite a while, and he believed. He became a believer. He trusted in God by faith. That cult was Herbert Armstrong, the Worldwide Church of God. Billy Bowles tell you the same thing today. He had a lot of rules to keep, and they triple tithed. He demanded a triple tithe. God only demands one, but he does demand it. We ought to tithe. Okay? That's what we ought to do. We ought to tithe. But he wanted three. Man-made religion always asks more of you than what God does. We tithe. If you want to give anything, you're going to have to give above the tithe. Did you know that? Because the tithe is already his. That's it. That's already his. That's his. That's God's. It's not yours. You don't own that. You might get it, but you don't own it. Just see how much you love God if you're going to give him back his tithe. Okay? And then if you really like him a lot, you might give him a little more if he's really got a hold of your heartstrings. Even more than that. All right. 11 and verse 6. 11 and verse 6. Oh, it's already time to go home.
Quick.
I look up here and it's 7 o'clock. We got started a little late, but why don't we... You want to start right there next week? Anybody have a pen that I can borrow?
I have to write in my book.
And this is 9209, isn't it? Oh boy. Next week we're going to Charis de Pistios Adunaton. Alright? That's where we're going to start next week. Thank you, Brother Pratt. You did a real good job reading that book. All you guys get A pluses, even Dakota there. She was working hard listening tonight. I saw you listening back there.
Yeah, but you get no participation points.
Yeah. And Dave did real well tonight. He tried to keep Brett in line.
Hard. Yeah.
Besides that, you had to sit next to him while he's eating dinner there. He probably made you hungry, didn't he?
I didn't even eat.
You didn't even get anything to eat. Neither did I. And he's over there eating.
Like you would have wanted to eat Taco Bell.
Boy, I love Taco Bell. I love it. I love Taco Bell. I haven't eaten any in a long time, but I love it. It doesn't mean I don't like it. All right. Well, let's go out. Go out and do something eternal this week. Take what we've got here in this class, take it with you out there in the world, and do something for the Lord. Do something eternal, not just for yourself. All right. We'll stop right there and start right there next week. Okay, here I had a pen and I overlooked it. Brad, thank you for coming tonight. You're getting all those A pluses, and I'm going to let you finish this off with a closing prayer. All right, brother? Okay.
All right, dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful for all that you do for us and all that you give us. I'd like to also have a special prayer for Jim and Marilyn, and for Dave, and for everybody we know, and for Randall, and for everybody to be blessed more than ever. And I'd also like to pray for my neighbor, Chris Samuel, who had a stroke. He's only 37. You know, I'm worried about him. But we pray that you can help him, Lord, and everybody else too. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for enduring the hard seat, Brother Amel.